Assalamu alaikum. Brothers, please come closer, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, nasta'inuhu wa nasta'ghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdillahu falamudhillala wa man yudhlil falahadiyala. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu an muhammadan abduhu wa rasul amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah fil Qur'an al-Majid, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله في القرآن المجيد أيضا اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم إسلام دينا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الكيس من دان نفسه أملا لما بعد الموت والعاجز من اتبع نفسه hawahu wa tamanna ala Allah aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear respected brothers and sisters, all thanks and praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every favor and for every ni'mat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And if it is that we look around us, if we look at ourselves, look at our children, look at even the house that we live in, and the things around us, the vehicle that we drive, the trees around us, the entire world, we will see that there is something that is very significant about it. Something that it is so significant that in our eyes it seems insignificant. And when I say that, it is every day when we look at our children, when we look at ourselves, we do not remain in the same state. We are becoming older and older as individuals. We are deteriorating in strength, in age. We are getting older in age. We are not getting younger. When we look at our children, those same children who used to creep, now they are walking. Those who didn't talk, now they are talking. When we look at our vehicles, they are getting older and older. When we look at our houses, they are not getting newer every day, but they are getting older. And this is the reality of life. But it is a reality of life. It is very important that we ourselves, we overlook it. And because of that, it becomes insignificant in our eyes. It becomes as something that is less important. And many times, we are being beguiled, we are being fooled to the fact that we have a long life on the face of this earth. We will live a long life. And this life that we are living, it is like a permanent life for us. The things that we have, it is permanent. The health that we have is permanent. And this is what we're being fooled with and we're being beguiled with. But inshallah today, I would just like to mention some of the things that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained to us. How it is that a person who wants to be considered a successful person, who wants to be considered a smart person, what is his actions in comparison to this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has placed us on the face of this earth, He understands, He recognizes that we have needs. And He knows our needs. This is why we are considered to be muhtaj, we are considered to be in need. Because each and every one of us, we have needs. Whether it be of the dunya or the akhirah. Whether it be pertaining to this world or pertaining to the akhirah, the hereafter. We also have needs, that is spiritual needs and physical needs. A person who is physically dead, then his spirituality will benefit him. But a person who is spiritually dead, then being alive, being physically alive, it would not have any benefit for him. He will be like a walking dead. So therefore, we all have needs. We have the physical need, we have the spiritual need. We have the need of the dunya and we have the need of the akhirah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that we have these needs and He has shown to us, explained to us, and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has demonstrated it unto us as to how we should fulfill those needs. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ إِسْلَامَ دِينًا, that today I have completed for you your deen. I have completed for you your religion, your way of life. The commentators mention that this referred to every aspect of our deen, everything that we need to know, every need, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, whether it be concerning this world or concerning the hereafter, all of it is fulfilled in this need, in this deen of Allah. So we don't have to go outside of this deen. We do not have to consult a scientist to find out, how can I be successful in this life? How can I be considered to be smart? We don't have to consult a scientist to do this. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained it to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenukum. Today I have completed for you your deen. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed my favor unto you. Because this deen of Islam, it is a favor. It is that which will make us successful both in this life and the life hereafter. Wa radhitu lakum Islam adina. And I am pleased with Islam as your way of life. Today, we sectionize our worldly affairs with our spiritual affairs. When it comes to our business, we feel that Islam has no part to play in this. So we push Islam aside. This is business. We're dealing with the world here. When it comes to our spiritual needs, then we say, okay, let me bring Islam. No. It is one. This is why it is considered to be deen. It is a complete way of life. Whichever need, whether it be physical, whether it be concerning your dunyawi life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained it to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed it to us. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived his life, did he live his life separating deen and saying that this is the dealing with the worldly affairs and this is dealing with the spiritual affairs? No, it was a complete system. And if we want to get maximum benefit from it, then we have to follow the complete system. We have to follow the complete formula. We cannot just take part and leave part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dukhulu fi silmi kafa. O you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Because this is one of the tricks of shaitan. He will tell you that this aspect of your life, it is concerning the dunyawi affair. It is concerning the worldly affairs. So deal with it according on that basis. And this part of your life, it is dealing with the spiritual affair, only deal with it in deen. And this is a very wrong concept that we are having. And because of that, our deen becomes affected because of our actions and our attitude. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, and when I say that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he explained to us, he explained this world, he gives it in the real perspective. He don't hide anything, but he gives us the world as it is. Now the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith, he says, La aqla ka tadbir. There is no sign of intelligence like that of planning. Let us ask ourselves, concerning the worldly affairs, concerning our business, concerning building our houses, concerning our worldly achievement of life, how much plans do we have? Some of us, we have plans which exceed even our lifetime. Some of us, we have plans for the next 15, 20 years, and we don't even know if we will live to see the next 15 or 20 years. Some of us, we have plans next 40 years, but we do not know if we will live to see the next 40 years. But there is no problem with planning, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a sign of intelligence is that of planning. People plan. But as I say, we only restrict it to the dunya. So each and every one of us know what we want to achieve in the next 2 years, next 3 years, next 4 years, next 5 years, next 20 years. But how many of us has a plan and asking, and we have, you know, made a strategy and saying, I want to achieve this spiritually in the next 5 years. I want to be like this in the next 2 years. I want to be this, or I want to achieve this in the next year. When we are speaking our spiritual plan, do we plan for that? No, we don't. Because of the fact we do not see importance in it. We do not see the importance of me asking myself, did I perform Hajj? And am I making plans to perform Hajj? Am I performing my 5 times daily salah? Did I make plans to perform my 5 times daily salah? Am I working out a way that at least I'm only performing one? Let me find a way wherein at least I could perform all 5 of my daily salah. What about our tasbihat, our dhikr? Are we making a plan and say, Today I'm only doing subhanallah 10 times. What about next 2 months? How much times I should be doing it? What about our tilawat of Quran, our recitation of Quran? I'm only reading quarter juz, 2 lines today. Next 5 years, should I be a person who is reading a whole juz a day? We should ask ourselves these questions, because we are lacking in this. A person is not performing salah in the masjid, am I making effort? Am I putting plans or putting things in place that when I leave my business, I can be able to come for salah in the masjid? So when it comes to the worldly affairs, we plan well. But when it comes to the affairs of the akhirah, the spiritual affairs that will help our iman, we do not plan in that. It happened in a haphazard way. Oh, well, I lucky to come for Jummah, alhamdulillah. I lucky to reach here for salah, alhamdulillah. I lucky to pray my zakat, alhamdulillah. I lucky that I can read Quran. It don't even worry me whether I'm not reading a Quran or not. It don't worry me whether I'm performing my salah or not. But it worries me that if it is I made a plan that I will complete my house in 5 years and I didn't complete it, we start to worry about that. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, what could be the reason for this? What could be the means that a person, he's only focusing upon the dunya, he's only focusing upon his worldly affairs and his worldly achievement, but he does not focus on the achievements of the akhirah? The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in a hadith, Allah, that certainly, inna dunya mal'unatun, that the dunya, it is mal'una, it is a curse. It has such quality that it beguiles a person. It makes a person become bewitched. It takes him away from the remembrance of Allah. It has such quality that it takes away his love for Allah and his love for his Rasul and the love for the Akhirah, and it attaches to the dunya. That is the quality of this dunya. So mal'unan means it is a curse and it has all these effects. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he continues, he says, mal'unan ma fiha, and whatever is in it is also a curse. Everything that is within the dunya is also a curse. Why? Because it has the same effect of the dunya. It has the effect of taking a person, pulling a person away from Allah, pulling a person from the objective of his life. He forgets what is his objective of life. He do not plan towards the akhirah. He do not plan to develop himself spiritually. So the dunya has a quality of what we call bewitching him, causing him to be a curse in such a way that he forgets Allah, he forgets his objective of life. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, mal'unun ma fiha, and whatever is in it is also a curse. Illa, except the dhikr of Allah. Illa dhikrullah, accepting the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Wa ma walahu, and whatever is connected to it. So the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, it is not accursed. Why? Because when a person is involved in the dhikr of Allah, in reality it brings him closer to Allah. He starts to get closer and closer to Allah. So you will find that in his heart, he will start to make plans. So today, he performs salah in jama'ah, and he remember Allah. He said he did it tasbih, he remembered Allah. He performed his sunnah. You will find that tomorrow he will think, how can I improve upon that? And he will get closer and closer to Allah. Closer and closer to Allah. And in reality, he will start to make plans, how it is I should get closer to Allah. And if he finds that he's not getting closer to Allah, he will question himself. He will ask himself, why am I not closer to Allah? What is it that I'm doing that is not causing me to get closer and closer to Allah? Let us ask ourselves, how many of us on a daily basis ask ourselves individually, am I getting closer to Allah or am I getting further away from Allah? Let us judge ourselves. Am I doing the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, or am I doing the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates? Do I feel the love of Allah in my heart, or do I feel the love of the dunya in my heart? So these are things that we should ask ourselves. But a person who is in the dhikr of Allah, who is in the remembrance of Allah, he will be constantly thinking about this. He will be constantly worrying about this. Instead of his business keeping him awake at night, this will keep him awake. He will be worrying that I am a person who's supposed to be closer to Allah, I'm not feeling that love of Allah, what is causing this? And this is what will be his worry. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the dhikr of Allah, وَمَا وَالَاهُ and that which is connected to it. Anything that is connected to the dhikr of Allah, whether it be salah, whether it be tilawat of Quran, whether it be any form of ibadah, because all of it, it is connected to Allah. وَعَالِمٌ أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمٌ or a learned person or a person who is learning deen. Because a person who is learning deen or a person who is teaching deen, he's constantly saying, قَالَ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ وَقَالَ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ اللَّهُ. He's constantly in the statement of Allah and His Rasul. So with this, he should always be in the remembrance of Allah, be concerned about himself, whether he's getting closer to Allah or whether he's getting further away from Allah. Or the student of knowledge, a student who is seeking deen, this should be one of his qualities, that he is worried whether am I getting closer to Allah or am I getting further away from Allah. But if a person is absolved in the worldly affairs, he's only making plans for the dunya, then this concern wouldn't even enter his heart. But if a person, he is concerned about the plans of the akhirah, he finds that I'm getting older every day, I'm getting weaker every day, I'm getting more feeble, but I'm not getting closer to Allah, my actions are not in correspondence with what Allah and His Rasul is saying, then that person is supposed to create a worry in his heart. That is if a person has plans for the akhirah. He finds that he's getting old, he's getting sick, and he has not performed his hajj. He has not been a person who is constantly in the obedience of Allah, then that's supposed to worry him, because he has plans for the akhirah and he's not fulfilling them. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Shams, this is just to show that at the end of the day, it is how it is we can be considered to be either those people who are successful or those people who are a failure. Those people who are failures are considered to be those people who they only plan for this world and they forget the akhirah. And those who are considered successful is those people who utilize this world to achieve their success of the akhirah. They ensure that they live their life in the obedience of Allah. They ensure that they purify themselves. They ensure that they rectify themselves. They ensure that they do islahun nafs, rectification of the soul. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Shams, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, that certainly, definitely, most certainly, أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, successful is that one who purifies himself, who rectifies himself. Because when he finds that he's not getting closer to Allah, when he finds that he's doing deeds which is displeasing to Allah, he tries to get rid himself of that. He tries to rid himself of bad deeds. He tries to inculcate good deeds in his heart, into his life. He tries to be obedient to Allah. He tries to be a person who is submissive to the laws of Allah and that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a successful one. He purifies himself. Zakkaha, he purifies himself. وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, and certainly, a failure is that one who corrupts himself. He corrupts himself because his focus is only this dunya. He's only making plans for this dunya. His objective is only this dunya. He's not making any achievements. He's not making any plans in order to attain the akhirah. But his plans is only for this dunya. So we should ask ourselves, how much plans do I have for this world and how much plans do I have for the hereafter? Let us balance it off. If it is that we're seeing that our plans of this dunya is much, it outweighs that of the akhirah, then something is wrong. We have to rectify it. Something is wrong. Because you will be fooled and you will be carried away and thinking that I have this plan to achieve, I have this plan to achieve, I will have this plan to achieve, and you'll keep going like that until Malik al-Maut comes and he takes you from this world. So the Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, that successful is that one who purifies himself. He ensure that he's always closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He ensure that he's always on the obedience of Allah. He tries his utmost best not to disobey Allah, always trying to do good deeds. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, and a failure is that one who he corrupts himself, corrupts his nafs, his soul. And how he corrupts his soul? The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has told us in a hadith, because normally when we want to gauge who's a smart person of this world, we look at a man who makes plan, he executes those plans, and he has achieved And we look at that person as a successful man, a smart man, very intelligent. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving us the definition of that one who is really considered to be smart. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Al-kayyisu, that a smart individual, mandana nafsahu, is that one who suppresses his nafs, suppresses his desire. He steps on his nafs and his desire. Because the desire of this world is that enjoy, 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 continue enjoying. So he put a foot on his nafs. Al-kayyisu mandana nafsahu amila lima ba'dal maut. And he controls and he suppresses nafs and he involves himself. He does actions which is for that which is to come after death. So he makes plans as to that which is come after death. So whatever action he's doing, it is in a preparation for after death. So whatever business, whatever investment, whatever time, whatever effort, whatever labor, the intention of it is to ensure that when I go to the Akhirah, I'm successful. So this is the kayyis, this is the smart one. So al-kayyisu, mandana nafsahu amila lima ba'da al-maut. That the smart person is that one who suppresses nafs, he controls his nafs, and he works towards that which is after death. Wal-ajizu, and the ajiz, the feeble one, the stupid one. Man ittaba'a, is that one who follows nafsahu, his nafs, his desires. His desire tell him, look at this, he make plan for this. So within 5 years, I have to fix my house. I have to do this, I have to do that. This is what I have to do, this is what I have to do, this is the investment I have to make, this is like that. But what happened after that? Wahawahu, wahawaha. And hawaha, his, not only do he follow his nafs, but hawaha, his desires also, he follows it. Because it is mentioned that nafs and hawa, he has two differences. There are two differences here. According to some, hawaha refers to that which, that such desires which craves for the love of this dunya. And nafs refers to the soul itself. So the hawaha refers here to the actual craving, when he craves for something, he desires something, his desires. And nafsahu refers to his actual spirituality, the nafs, the desire, the nafs that he has, the soul. So man ittaba'a is that one who follows nafsahu, his nafs, his carnal desires, wahawaha, and watamanna, and he hopes, watamanna ala Allah, he has hope upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what he's doing, he's following his desires, going like that, and he's just hoping that, don't worry, when I face Allah, Allah will forgive me. This is the feeble one, this is the stupid one. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, when we look at our entire life, we're not getting younger every day, we're getting older. If we look around us, we will see that the things around us, the structures around us, they're getting older, they're deteriorating. And likewise, we are deteriorating. We are deteriorating faster than the buildings around us, faster than the cars. Because old age, it is something that it just creeps up on you without you even realizing it. So we should not wait and make false plans about the Akhirah, because this is what we are accustomed doing. Making false plans and vain plans about the Akhirah. But concerning this dunya, we make the actual plan. And we execute it, we ensure that we fulfill those plans. So when it comes to this dunya, we make the plans and we fulfill them. But the Akhirah, we make plans and we use the word behind it, inshallah. True enough, inshallah is very important. But the positive inshallah, not the negative one. Many times you say inshallah, and we don't even have the desire in it in our hearts. But if a person comes and tells us about some plan of this dunya, a business plan, we say inshallah with firmness. And we stick to it, we work towards it. Similarly, we should, concerning the plans of the Akhirah, we should be doing the same. So we should at least check ourselves. What am I lacking in? Am I performing my 5 times daily salah? If no, when would I start? And if it is every day, we should check back. Did I fulfill my plan today? Every month, we should check. I said that I would have read one Quran this month. Did I read it? What was the key back? What was the reason to preventing me from doing it? And whatever is that obstacle, then we should try to remove it. Because as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Ad-dunya mal'unatun," that the dunya is a curse. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, time is not waiting on us. We are just waiting on time. We are waiting for our numbers to be pulled. We are waiting for the angel of death to visit us. This is what we are waiting on. Time is not waiting on us. Time is not saying that Brother Umar has so much and so much he wants to achieve in 10 years. I will wait until he do it and then I will take him. No. But our time, our day, our number, it is already destined. It is already written. So we are just waiting for that time to come now. So my dear respective brothers and sisters, we should not delay, but we should make plans concerning the Akhirah, and we should work and try to fulfill those plans, inshallah.